Now therefore arise, go over the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's prepare our hearts to worship and hear the Lord's word. Let's humble our hearts and pray. Our Jesus, our Savior, Lord, there is none like you. Father God, I just want to thank you again, Lord. Father, I just want to thank you for a good week of preparation, Lord, in your word. Good quality time with you, Father. I just thank you. Father, I just pray today that you just help me step aside. Let your words be my words, Father God. Father, thank you for trusting a sinful man like me. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is your servant's prayer, and we ask these things and many others in Jesus Christ's name and for his sake and his sake only. Amen. Amen. Y'all be seated, please. Please be seated. Once again, we are privileged and thankful to be here in God's house again. Amen. It's always glad to share Jesus with you. And that's our main objective today. We stopped by this morning to encourage your heart. We stopped by this morning to bring you tidings of great joy. Somebody's going to hear about Jesus this morning. Amen. Amen. All right. This morning's text comes from the scripture verses over in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And that's where we're getting our text this morning. Great expectations, living by the promises of God. Great expectations, living by the promises of God. And let's break this down a little bit. Let's talk about that word, expect. Expect means that there's something that's coming. There's something that's coming without delay. There's an assurance that this is going to happen. Just like when a young mother is getting ready to have a baby, she's expecting that baby to come, amen? When we buy us an airplane ticket, we have an expected ETA of arrival when we get to our destination, amen? Amen? When we go to our mailboxes every day, we expect bills in the mail. Amen? Amen. Because I'm not getting no checks in the mail, so I'm mostly getting bills. Amen. But I'd like to ask y'all a question. I'm an inquiring person. I'm an engaging person. I want to ask the question this morning. What keeps you going? What keeps you going? What is your motivation that keeps you doing your daily things that you do every day? For Joshua, his motivation was to know that God was going to keep his promises. Amen? You see, Joshua, he had great expectations of things to come. You see, Joshua, he was following in Moses' footsteps. He followed Moses as God's servant. But can you imagine how Joshua felt? Moses was there when God delivered the plagues. Moses was there when the Red Sea parted. Moses was there when Moses spoke to a rock and water started to come out. But you see, the people, they rejected Moses and God's leadership. So God said, I'm going to start all over. Joshua and Caleb, they were the only two to see the promises of God. The other 10 spies, they never could. So God sent over 2 million people in the desert on the world's largest funeral march in history. Amen? This funeral march lasted for 40 years. They marched until each one of those 2 million adults had died. Everyone who was in Moses' generation had perished and died. Think about that. 40 years of agonizing, complaining, and whining. And as that was going on, these people were dying out. All right? So I'm just going to speak hypothetically a little bit this morning. So once a week, Joshua and Caleb, they would have coffee. They would ask each other, how many did you bury last week? Eventually, like we said earlier, all of Moses' generation had died out. But what kept Joshua going after the death of Moses was all of those great promises that God was going to keep. Amen? Look with me over in Joshua. Over in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, this is what the Bible says. It says, I have given you every place where the soles of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. So God fulfills his promise to the people, all right? If you have your Bible, over in Joshua 21, verses 43 and 45. Joshua 21, verses 43 and 45. Are you there, church? Joshua chapter 21. Verses 43 and 45. Amen. This is what the Bible says. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their fathers, and they took possession of it and settled in. And the Lord gave him rest on every side according to all he had sworn to their fathers, and none of their enemies were able to stand against them. For the Lord handed over all their enemies to them. None of the good promises the Lord had made to the house of Israel fails. Everything was fulfilled. Amen? Amen. You see, Joshua was encouraged, see, because he had great expectations of what God was going to do even more. Over in Joshua chapter 23, verse 14, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says, I am now going the way of all the earth, and you know with all your heart and all your soul that none of the good promises of your God made to you has failed. Everything was fulfilled for you. Not one promise has failed. Amen. Are y'all listening to the wording of this? God is just giving this great promise, and those folks still complain, amen? All right. You know what kept Joshua going was the promises that God gave him back when Joshua was chosen to lead. Let's share an important truth. You see, the world that we live in today lives on explanations, all right? The world we live in an information society, and we're always looking for explanations. For example, why does this happen? Or what should I do about this? You see, us as Christians, us as believers in Jesus, we should live on the promises of God. Amen? Amen. You see, if you're going to serve God, you need to learn to trust God and the promises that he has made to us. Amen? But you see, when we live in the world, we tend to run into some dangers that can prevent us from living by the promises of God. Now, if you got your outline, let's fill out our outline. Roman numeral number one, the danger of looking back. Roman numeral one, the danger of looking back. We're going to back this up in scripture over chapter 1, verse 2 of Jonah. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land that I have given the Israelites. All right, we found it over in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, as we said. You see, Moses is mentioned over six times in Joshua, well, mentioned just six times over in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Moses is also mentioned 57 times in the book of Joshua. You see, it's very easy to look at what God has done in the past and think, I don't think I can move forward. You see, it's just like the mistake that Lot's wife had made. Why did she even look back anyway? You see, she looked back because she lived in Sodom. And Jesus refers to her in the event over in Luke chapter 17, 32. And we're filling that out over in our outline, letter A. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. You see, Jesus is comparing the time of Lot's wife to the time of the end of the world. And of course, even today, everything is so familiar. People are eating, having barbecues and banquets. People are out drinking. People are out meeting. People are getting married. People are having children. People are going to work. Just normal stuff. But God is moving, amen? God is always moving. He is always doing more and more, and he is always moving forward into the future, amen? You see, the danger that we can run into is that when we look back, instead of looking forward, is to see what God is doing. We want to look back at what we find familiar, amen? You see, in the beginning of Joshua, Moses was familiar to the people, amen? Amen? Moses was the only leader that the children of the people of Israel had ever had for 40 years. Now, there is a new leader. What are the people going to do about that? That is the question. What are the people going to do about that? What is Joshua going to do about that? Does he just do the same thing that Moses did? Actually, Joshua will lead in a completely different way. The people of God are going to move forward. The constant thing are the promises, not the explanations. Amen? The most constant thing that God gives us are the promises, not the explanations. All right. But what we should do about this, Joshua was asking the question, what should I do? Should I be like Moses? But God gave him a promise, and he said, just to follow me, just plain and simple, follow me. You see, these two opening verses stress the importance of living with our backs to the past. Amen? Amen. To meet these words of God to Joshua have to be among the most important in all the Bible. Let's look at those words. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Now, roll that over again in your mind. Roll that over in mind about your ministry. Are you willing to live with your backs to the past? Are you willing to challenge our people to live with their backs to the past? All right. The next on our outline is Roman numeral number two. The danger of standing still. This is what the Bible says over Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Fulfilling the promises of God requires that we walk by faith. Amen. Fulfilling the promises of God requires that we walk by faith. Let's look over in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 4. This is what the Bible says. The Lord answered me. Write down this vision clearly and inscribe it on tablets so that one may clearly read it. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It testifies about the end and will not lie. Though it delays, wait for it, since it will sincerely come and not be late. Look, his ego is inflated. He is without integrity. But the righteous one will live by his faith. Amen? That's what the Bible says over in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, all right? You see, God wants us to keep moving forward, church, amen? You see, when we stand still, we will sink or go backwards, amen? Amen? All right, God doesn't go backward. He is always going forward. The promises of God are for today, not yesterday. When you claim the promises of God, it may have come from your past, but it is always for our future, amen? All right, remember Peter. Remember Brother Peter when he was walking on the water. Peter sees Jesus, and Jesus asked him to stop, asked him to step out. You see, Jesus was making a promise, amen? Amen, church. He said, come to me. And Peter stepped out until the disciples, they started to complain about the waves, amen? Amen. Then Peter looked at the waves, and Peter, he stood still in his tracks. As Peter stood still, the waves put him under. The other disciples, they weren't walking. They were just standing still in the boat, amen? You see, that was the danger, because when you're standing still as a Christian, you're going to see the promises of God fulfilled. Now, see, I'm not talking about the stillness and time with God. I'm talking about times of serving God, amen? You see, when you're serving God, you aren't standing still. You need to keep moving, and you need to keep doing what God asks you to do, amen? Amen. Sometimes we want to stop. When we stop and stand still, we will surely sink. Amen? Amen. Next Roman numeral. Roman numeral 3 is the danger of giving up. The danger of giving up. And we're going to back this up in scripture over in chapter 1, verse 5 of Jonah. This is what the Bible says. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you. All right. You see, Joshua, he had 31 kings that were waiting for him as he entered into the promised land. And Joshua had many challenges ahead of him, so it was not easy for him to serve God. Sometimes it can be difficult serving God. But God promises that he will never leave us. Amen? Amen, church. All right. God says to Moses, says to Joshua, oh, let's get our Bibles out. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 28, please. Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. Are you there, church? This is what the Bible says. It says, behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Amen? Amen. No wonder Joshua had great expectations. We should have the same great expectation too also, church. Amen? Amen, church. All right. We're going to keep on going here. Now, we're at Roman numeral number 3. Is that right? Roman numeral number 3. All right, amen. Just a moment. Lost my page. All right. The danger of giving up. No one will be able to stand against you stand against you as you live, and I will be with you just as Moses was, as I was with Moses. You see, Jacob and Joshua had the same kind of feeling in loneliness. They had feelings of wanting to give up on their journey, but God reassured them, and he reassures us, that God will always be with us. Amen? Amen. Roman numeral number 4. The danger of falling short. The danger of falling short. We're going to back this up with scripture over in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. This is what the Bible says. It says, "Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance." You see, this verse talks about an inheritance. The inheritance is the land that God had promised. The Bible talks about geography sometimes. In this journey that the Israelites have been going on, there are three geographic positions. All right. The three geographic positions are three spiritual geographic positions. Let's talk about number one, Egypt. Egypt, this represents the world system that keeps us in bondage. Amen? You see, we can be put into slavery by the world, our fleshly nature and our desires, and Satan. Egypt represents this. And the Israelites were slavery in Egypt. They were freed from slavery by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Did y'all hear that? That they were freed from slavery by the blood of the Lamb. So each and every one of us, spiritually speaking, has been in Egypt. Amen? All right. We all have been in a place where we were in spiritual slavery. Jesus has delivered us from this slavery by dying for each and every one of us upon that cross. Amen? Amen. All right. Let it be there. Canaan. Canaan, this represents the claim of inheritance for the people of Israel. For us today, it represents the inheritance that we claim in Jesus Christ. Amen? And when we accept Jesus Christ and what he has done for us to bring us to God, we can claim an inheritance. Amen? Amen. You see, an inheritance. An inheritance is something that is given by fathers to enjoy. Amen? Amen. Just as our earthly father gives us an inheritance, God gives us an inheritance. Amen? What is that inheritance? It is a place to serve. You see, eternal life is a result of God wanting to bring us back into relationship with him. Amen? You see, it is a benefit of Jesus' sacrifice. But the inheritance is something that God wants to give to have, to wants to have on earth right now. You see, God wants us to go to work and to enjoy the land and to serve him at the same time. Amen? You see, God didn't say, "I will give you the land upon which you walk." He said, "I have given to you." The same is true today concerning the things of God. Whenever you choose to step out and engage your soul, the land is already yours. Amen? Amen. It is a matter of possessing your possession. It is a matter of appropriation. So where do we want to put our soul? Where do we want to plant our foot and say, "I'm going to believe for this, Lord. I'm going to step out in this, and I'm going after this." All right? Let's talk about the wilderness. Let us see. The wilderness, it represents the inability to believe God's promises. You see, remember what the ten spies said. They gave a report, and it said, it is as God said, he had said, but there are giants in the land. It is a land of strong walls. We are not able to conquer the land. They never denied the promise of God, but they just didn't believe that they could claim the promises of God. Are you going to believe and claim the promises of God, or are you going to just wander in the wilderness? All right. The next one, Roman numeral number 5, the danger of taking over. The danger of taking over. And we find this over in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. This is what the Bible says. It says, "Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn to it from the right or the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. The book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night, so that you may be carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Amen. So God says in these verses, literally, to mutter over these words. It's like when you see a Jewish man bow and quietly speak to the words to himself. That is what muttering, and that is what the kind of meditation that God has in his mind for us. God says to us basically, you are working for me. I will give you the words, and I will give you the things to do. Now, sometimes along the way, we think that we can do better than God, all right? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we think we can do better than God. But God calls that pride. Pride will get us into trouble, amen? What keeps you from getting proud? Spending time with God and in his word. The book of law is the place of promises of God. The book of law was the Bible that Joshua knew. The Old Testament was the Bible that Jesus read. The entire Bible that we have is the book that God has given for us as believers. Claiming the promises of God requires that we start the day out right by getting off into God's word. Amen? We don't want to start out our day by getting up, turning on the TV, and looking at Good Morning Craig America, or watching the latest newscast or the morning soap operas. The work of God is based on the promises of God. Amen? You see, you can't serve God without claiming the promises of God. You can't claim the promises without knowing the promises of God. You can't know the promises of God without reading in the book that God has written. Amen? Amen. Amen. So even on a personal note, when God has been shaping me through the years and letting me get up here and be able to speak and to preach his kingdom, and this Bible verse has always given me inspiration and hope all the time about how God has given us all those good and gracious promises. And that's the reason why we should have great expectations. And just like the scripture said earlier, that God, he commands us that we should be strong and to be courageous and not to be afraid. Amen. And that he's with us wherever we go. Amen. And there's something else about those things by here. About the spiritual part, we talk about Egypt. Egypt represents slavery to the world, amen? But listen here, church, this is what happened. We were freed by the blood of the Lamb, amen? Amen. You see, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All our precious is that flow that makes us white as snow. No other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So you see, the blood of Jesus, it will never, ever, ever lose its power. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord. Father, thank you for using me. Thank you for letting me be your vessel today, Lord God. Father, we just pray again, Father, that whatever said and done today, Father, that you get the glory, that you get the honor, and that you get the praise. So, Father, we thank you again. This is your service prayer. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name, for his sake only. Amen. All right, we're going to sing our song. One more song. We're going to sing, I Surrender All. Thank you.
going to look over at Titus. All right. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 7. This is what the Bible says. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Y'all go with peace. God bless you. God keep you.